There is a particular movie that if I'm flipping channels and this movie is on, then I'll stop and watch it for a little bit. It's a guilty pleasure, I'll admit, because the movie's pretty terrible. But it's still fun to watch. And the film in question is called, I'm embarrassed, Armageddon. And it's so bad that the late film critic Roger Ebert called it, quote, an assault on the eyes, the ears, the brain, common sense, and the human desire to be entertained. I don't think he liked it. He goes on to say, no matter what they're charging to get in, it's worth more to get out. Nevertheless, the film was the second highest grossing movie of 1998 behind Titanic. Now, the premise of this movie is simple. A giant asteroid the size of Texas is hurtling towards the Earth. And when it hits the Earth, it will eradicate all life on the planet. So NASA hatches a plan. They hire Bruce Willis, who is an expert in drilling oil wells. They hire him to fly in the space shuttle along with his crew of roughnecks and land on the asteroid and drill a hole in said asteroid and drop a nuclear bomb down that hole there, then to get away, detonate the bomb, which will split the rock in half while the Earth sails right between it. Sounds kind of silly when I say it out loud. But as you can guess, things don't go according to plan. People are killed. Shuttles explode. The laws of physics are tossed out the window. And in the end, the Earth, however, is saved at the very, very, very last second. And then some guy gets a girl. Now, I would tell you that this premise is far-fetched. But in a moment of life imitating art, NASA just did this. On September 26, 13 days ago, NASA intentionally crashed a spaceship into an asteroid in order to save the Earth. Well, in all fairness, Earth was never in any danger from that particular asteroid. NASA just wanted to see if they could do it. And they did. And it is their first mission of their planetary defense program. Back in 1996, astronomers discovered an asteroid in orbit around the sun. The orbit of this asteroid brings it close enough to be classified as a near-Earth object. And this particular asteroid, it's roughly 1/2 mile wide. That's how big, 1/2 mile in diameter. And several years then after its discovery, astronomers learned that the asteroid had a moonlet, a smaller body in orbit around it. And because of this, they went on to name the larger object Didymos, which is the Greek word for twin, because there were two of them. The smaller body they called Dimorphos. It's only about 560 feet across, really not very big. It's almost exactly the size of the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. Now, to be clear, neither of these bodies pose any danger to Earth. They exist in their own happy little orbits out in space. In fact, there are no known threats to Earth by any asteroid at this time. However, that's probably what the dinosaurs thought 66 million years ago, when a large object slammed into the Yucatan Peninsula, obliterating 75% of all life on Earth. So, anyway, the folks at NASA decided that they needed to learn how to protect Earth in case some asteroid does threaten us. So they created the DART mission, D-A-R-T. DART stands for Dual Asteroid Redirection Test. And the purpose of this $300 million DART program was to see if they could nudge an asteroid to change its trajectory ever so slightly. Nuclear bombs make for good movies, but in real life, it's not a great idea because when you blow up an asteroid, you end up with a lot of little fragment asteroids coming at you. It's best to keep your asteroid in one piece and just push it out of the way. And the DART mission was designed to see if we could do just that, to see if we could alter the trajectory of the Dimorphos asteroid. That's the smaller one in orbit around the bigger one. So, last November, NASA fired a rocket from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California, and on this rocket was the DART spacecraft. This spacecraft is basically a cube, 4 feet on a side, that's all. Once in space, it unfurls two 28-foot solar panels. Its primary payload is a high-resolution video camera, which was used not only for guidance, but also to send pictures back to Earth, because we all like pictures. Now, the mass of this particular spacecraft is about 1,260 pounds. DART also carries a smaller satellite, which was deployed 15 days before impact to help guide it to the crash site. Now, the engineer overseeing this mission likens DART to throwing a tennis ball at a 747. But she explains that if that tennis ball is going fast enough, it will nudge the 747, and that's the hope here. And at impact, DART would be traveling at 3.8 miles per second. Pretty fast. So, Monday, a week ago, at 6 p.m., I was sitting in my kitchen at a computer watching in real time the final few moments of the DART mission. There was the video feed from the camera on the spacecraft as it flew closer and closer to the Dimorphos asteroid. And it was sending back an image about every 30 seconds. It'd go click, click, click. And finally, the image of the asteroid filled the screen, and then there was nothing, which was supposed to happen because the ship was now destroyed because it had crashed into the asteroid exactly as planned. Now, having grown up in the age of NASA, I have a tendency to take their projects for granted. They put people on the moon. They put rovers on Mars. They've sent craft to the edge of the solar system. They do all these incredible things, and they do them well. So crashing a small spacecraft into an asteroid doesn't sound really all that impressive. But it should be. It's astonishing that they pulled it off. They fired a rocket into orbit that launched a spacecraft that traveled 7 million miles to hit a very small rock, which was orbiting a larger rock. So imagine that I handed you a .22 caliber rifle and a box of ammo. And then I placed an apple on a fence post just 30 feet away and told you to hit it. Now, it's not a hard shot. You'd likely hit the apple before you ran out of ammo. But imagine that I handed you the gun and then put you on a galloping horse, and I placed the apple a mile away and set it in a rowboat, which was going down the rapids of a river, and then I gave you just one bullet and told you to hit the apple or the earth would be destroyed. I mean, it is a miracle that that little spacecraft, this big, hit that rock out in space. And this is where I'm going with all of this. Imagine the faith that it took to even conceive of the DART mission. And by faith, I mean the faith that the engineers and the scientists had in themselves, in their abilities, their experience, their knowledge, and their science. They believed in what they wanted to do. And if they didn't believe in it, they couldn't have done it. And here's my point. What if we, as Christians, place that same level of faith, not in ourselves, but in God? What could we accomplish then? Anything. Our scripture reading for today is a simple story of an exorcism. Here we read that a father approaches Jesus and kneels down before Jesus and asks for mercy. Mercy for his son, who suffers from some ailment, probably epilepsy. And the boy has seizures, and these seizures calls him to fall into the cooking fire or fall into a water trough. The boy is always in danger of injuring himself because the seizures come on without warning. Imagine how terrifying that must have been for his parents. The father goes on to explain that he had initially approached Jesus' disciples, but they couldn't cure him. Jesus listens to the father. He sighs, and then he speaks. And what he says is not directed at the father, but more in general to the people present, and especially to the disciples. And here Jesus echoes the words of Moses from Deuteronomy when he says, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you?" He's clearly frustrated at how things are turning out. I mean, he's already given the disciples the power to do miracles. He has shown himself that miracles are possible. So where is their faith? Where is their faith to cure this little boy? So Jesus instructs the father to bring the boy back to him, and Jesus heals him. And then afterward, the disciples, they approach Jesus privately, and they ask why they couldn't help the boy. And Jesus says to them right up front, "Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Now, here Jesus is contrasting for the disciples their little faith to mustard seed faith. Now, Jesus has already established that mustard seeds are extremely small, and yet they grow to become significant plants. And in those plants, birds live, animals find shelter. But little faith, on the other hand, little faith is different. Little faith is not a lack of faith, but little faith is a distracted faith, a faith that is easily sidelined, a faith that misses its target. The disciples had faith. They just had little faith. Little faith is the faith that starts out strong. You get up in the morning, you can do anything, but it's easily discouraged. Little faith wants to feed the hungry, but it gets distracted at how many people continue to be hungry. Little faith wants to shelter the homeless, but complains that the homeless are not adequately appreciative of what's been done for them. Little faith wants to celebrate God's kingdom so all may see it, but then grumbles that, you know, sometimes it's just too hard to find. Mustard seed faith, on the other hand, starts out small, impossibly small. But it perseveres, and it grows, and it becomes a shelter for others. Mustard seed faith stays focused. And mustard seed faith, though tiny, it can move mountains. It can nudge asteroids. It can usher in God's kingdom. It can change the world. Faith is a gift. It's a gift from God. And faith offers us that connection to God that can transform our lives. Faith is not belief in God. For example, I can believe and still have little faith. But faith, as we read in the book of Hebrews, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the certainty that God is always with us, that God does not waver, that God loves us and cares for us. I believe in God, but I also have faith that God is with me. I will admit, yes, sometimes my faith wavers, and sometimes it becomes little. Where is God, I ask? Is God still with me? And when that happens, I have learned to lean on others for their faith. So I turn to you, to my family, to my colleagues, and I allow their faith to shelter me like a great mustard tree until my own faith has grown stronger. That is faith. There's big faith and little faith. But what we want is that mustard seed faith, the faith that perseveres day in and day out. So the DART mission, was it successful? Well, yes, it was. They hit the objective like a bullseye. Did it move the asteroid? We don't know yet. It'll take a couple of weeks for the scientists to gather all the data together. But I have faith. Amen.